Welcome to BrainMachineNetwork.com.
The following podcast is sponsored by the Women in Comedy Festival. Check us out at WICF.com.
So this is Love About Town, brought to you by the Women in Comedy Festival Network and the Brain Machine Network. Always, you have me, your host, Kenise Mobley, and...
Your boy, Rohan, everybody. Welcome to Love About Town once again.
Perfect. I think that, was more committal.
More committal than it is normally, yeah.
It is, yeah. And then today, we have a guest that I'm so excited about. He came on a long time ago when it was like somewhat different. It was ages ago, and we're happy to have him back. He's blown up since. You've seen him on Comedy Central. You've seen him on the Facebook show that I can't remember the name of, but he was on.
You've seen him on Tinder.
You've absolutely seen him on Tinder. You've seen him on Twitter.
And we're going to talk about it. Please welcome Diego Lopez.
What up, Diego? So good to have you, dude.
I'm here.
It's great to see you.
I'm here in my bedroom. I miss you guys. You guys are great. I really think anytime we talk, it's always a lot of fun.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. Yeah, this is your bedroom, Diego?
This is my bedroom, yeah.
Oh, nice.
I like the wood paneling.
Yeah, I love the wood paneling.
We'll go on a tour.
So that's my closet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
My television, my bed.
Whoa.
Wow.
I got some shelves.
That's great.
Yeah, you have art in your room and stuff. You are like a...
I have very horny art.
What is that?
Oh, it's a woman blowing a man.
Is it really?
Oh, wow. Yeah, but now I see her. Now I see it.
That's where penis goes.
Oh, okay. I see it. Yeah. I honestly was like, I didn't see any eroticism in that. And then you mentioned it. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay. So
it's like a war shot for horny people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
War shot? No. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Rorschach. Yeah. You got it.
Rorschach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You got it.
I know who he is because he and I have the same birthday.
January 22nd.
It's November 8th. It's fine. I don't expect anyone to know that. He also was quite a looker, but he's born exactly 100 years before me. I like the idea of putting horny art in your house. I have not done it. My art is decidedly not horny. But you know what? I've got to put some more art up on my walls. I'm going to put up horny art.
Yeah. If you need my friend, sorry to cut you off, Ron, but I want to talk. My friend Leland makes very horny art, and she even commissioned, she asked me for some pictures so she could paint them, but I have not seen these pictures, and it's been a little while, and I literally just remembered about it, and I was like,
wow. Yeah, she asked for some pictures
I'll give you her Instagram
to make
she makes
art.
Cool art.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
And speaking of pictures and images of bodies for maybe artistic purposes, maybe not. Kalani, I'm not young enough to know enough about the artist Kalani, but I know that she just put out a video where she's like praising cam girls. And I'm wondering, like, we're all very sex positive now. Some of the people we know are cam girls. What is your experience with cam girls? When did the first time you heard about it as a thing? Tell me everything.
I guess my first experience was probably back in like, you remember when, it was not Omegle, what was it called? Chat Roulette started?
Yes.
Chat Roulette.
I remember then hearing about cam girls being a thing. I was like, oh, that's fucking brilliant. That's awesome. That cuts out the like layers of danger for women going out and like, you know, being face to face with certain, with people. I'm like, that's an interesting and smart thing. And then the ethics of pornography and like buying your pornography, not using large websites is way more ethical, you know? And I know a decent amount of cam girls. I am privy to being shown some things that aren't like, I have a couple friends who have like OnlyFans accounts and they'll like send me stuff. They're like, I can't put this on my OnlyFans. It's like, too much, but here you go. And I'm like, well, what a fucking
honor. That's a perk of being sick, friends with cam girls. That's so interesting that it's like, hey, I can't. It's just very interesting that they make a distinction between like putting something out for like thousands of people versus putting something out for one person. Because if I was going to put uncomfortable with putting out something for thousands of people, I wouldn't be comfortable with one person seeing it either. But that's just interesting. I don't even think about things that way. I'm saying that's great that you got sent those things, and they're just like and it shows that they're cultivating like, hey, I have an aesthetic, I have a taste. Or maybe it's just too dirty, or maybe it's just like, I don't feel comfortable in this moment, but it's like, hey, you're a friend, here you go. which I think is cool. I'm just I'm not there sexually, but you know.
Diego, you cool send like you send people you nudes, right?
What do you mean people?
You just send random people nudes.
See me naked. Yeah, there's people that I know that get, that if they ask or want, they get to see me naked. Yeah.
I love the
that's
way
a,
that
fair,
you...
Yeah, it's a fair thing to say.
Clearly, your very expensive lawyers have rubbed off on you because you're like, I send people specifically. not any more detailed than that. Who asked, making sure that it's
consensual.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I think also you the way you phrased it, Kinesis, you were like, Diego, if anybody, you send people nudes, whether or not, like, you know, you've dated them or want to date them or are romantically interested in them whatsoever, you'll just still send people nudes, right? That's the way I heard
like
it.
I'm some weird service online. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been asked to start an OnlyFans, kind of joking, it seems, but sometimes it seems a little more intense than that.
Are there guys with OnlyFans? Genuine question. I have no
idea. Yeah.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Who is but the a lot of times, primary clientele for that?
It's mostly guys.
Yeah.
So it's guys wanting to crank off their penises at guys, which is great.
I'm wondering what you can do as a guy on your OnlyFans other than like crank it and put something in your butt, right?
Well, yeah. Also, but depends. Like, these are beautiful. Blah blah blah. Right. Everyone is great. Sure. I fucking psyched on everybody. I think guys, because we sexualize women's specific body parts. Like, that's just all I want to see. Where women, I think, are a little more open to if they're attracted to somebody, they're like, your back is awesome, or your legs are you know, like they're like psyched on everything, not necessarily penis. And I think male sexuality is very much about the specific parts, where women's sexuality is a little bit different, again, generally speaking. But I know, I think I made a joke about this, like, abs are like tits, where like I could show a woman my abs and it's kind of in the almost at the same sexuality level as a tit picture. But I think a lot of guys, if they don't have abs, they're like, well, I don't have anything to trade off that's that level. If that makes sense.
So this is a question, follow-up question to this. And Rohan, I want your answer to this as well. Okay. So like women are taught from a very early age, like how to present their bodies in a sexual way, how to like be sexual, how to perform sexuality in a way as to attract someone or just like in front of a partner. Rohan, I know you, so I know you're not like stripping in front of your partners necessarily, but how, like, what are the ways in which you perform your sexuality to entice a woman?
Huh?
It, like, show off my body?
Yeah.
I would say that I don't often, I like think of, this is a very, very silly thing. But if I'm anticipating having sex with somebody, I will like wear specific underwear because I know it looks better on me. I have like a set of black underwear that I specifically only wear if I know that I'm going to have sex with somebody. Because it's like, okay, when you see me naked, you're going to be like, oh, he looks nice because he's got this nice underwear. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I think about it in terms of that. And then also like when I exercise or like when I do anything that's like for my body, like that's supposed to be health wise, I'm always like, not only is this good for your mental health, but also women are really going to love it regardless of what I'm doing. Even if it's just biking or it's like, you know, very simple cardio exercise, it's always like, this is going to make my body look better. It's going to make my stomach flatter. It's just going to do whatever. And that's going to make me look better for women. But there's nothing specifically that I do. I just shaved my pubes recently. I guess that's something.
You talked about wanting to do that. How did how
all the way?
All the way, dude. It's great.
Whoa.
Dude, it's.
You have a swim meet coming up or something? Yeah.
I've always wanted to do it. I never was somebody who like you know, trim occasionally, but I never like actually did anything with it. But then I got a couple razors and I was like, let me see what it looks like. Got a couple razors, dude.
You just
I got
burned
one.
Through them. Okay.
Yeah. I got one for the top. I got one for the top part and one for the bottom part. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's one of my favorite John Mulaney albums.
Yeah. Boom. Yeah. And so I was like, yeah, let me check it out. Let me see what it looks like fully, completely shaved.
Sure.
And not only does it look fine, it feels great. It feels wonderful, honestly.
Nice.
It was weird for the first couple of days, but then now I'm used to it, and I'm like, I'm not going back. So
You're just going to be a shaved boy.
Yeah, but to broadly speaking, I don't think about specific body parts other than what I just said. Mm. Yeah. What do you do, Diego?
Hey, I haven't heard anyone else mention the underwear, like other guys mention the underwear thing. That's kind of a big thing for me where I only wear one brand and one cut of underwear, mm-hmm. but I wear Calvin Klein briefs, but the trunk brief, like the shorter briefs.
Yep.
And I have 3 or 4 pairs that I only wear when it's like date night. And it's like, I have a bit about this, about how like I've asked female friends, like what kind of underwear do they find most attractive on men? And 100% have just said clean. And I'm like, well, all right, the bar is low. I think men presenting their bodies is something that kind of gets pushed away and kind of frowned upon in like the heterosexual male community, where it's like, well, what's up with that, bro? It's like, well, relax. I like my body. I work really hard on my body, and I want the person who I'm with to make it feel like they're like getting something that's special. And it doesn't mean you have to be like fucking shredded or anything, but it's like the feeling of like this, my body is both utilitarian and in terms of like I move it and I fight people and I lift weights, but also it's like I also shower and put on nice lotions and I smell good and I like that kind of balance between the two. I think that's super useful and cool. But yeah, underwear is so sick.
Underwear, you got to think about underwear.
Yeah.
How do you guys move your body? Like,
my body?
Yeah, because like women are like, okay, so I've got to like pout, but like a little bit, and you like stick out your chest a little bit, or you like lean. Like, there's touching ways, but also there's like ways of taking off your clothes that like every woman, like oddly enough, if she's not like a sexual person, knows that like this is how you should take it off if like someone's watching you. How do you in that way perform in front of someone who is watching you?
This is something that I will admit to this, and I'm not particularly proud of this, but I won't take off my clothes unless a woman takes off my clothes. You know, I want you to want to take off my clothes. That's a thing for me.
Interesting.
So sometimes, and because I'm always going, I'm like, sometimes it'll be the case where like I'm like almost fully clothed and she's naked and I'm like, you know, we're kissing. Oh. Like it's going well. It's going fine. Like I'm going to go down on you. It's like totally fine. But like,
she's got to do the act of like taking your clothes.
Yeah. Take off my shirt. At least like my shirt. Then if it's like pants, it's like, okay, whatever. Like, you know, we'll get to that when we get to that. But shirt is like, yeah, I love when like a woman just like, take off your shirt. Like, this is great. Like, we're both going at it right now. You know what I'm saying?
I take my shirt off at the restaurant. I don't even have to the apartment.
Well, Diego, you have a lot to be proud of. you got a lot to show off, you know?
Oh, you're too sweet.
You got a lot to show. No, honestly, if I was in as good of shape as you, I'd be the same way, dude. Cuz I know when I like feel good about my body, like in the few moments that I do, I'll look at myself in the mirror. I'd be like, yeah, you look great today. Like, you fucking are killing it right now. And that doesn't happen very often. But if I was like, you know, shredded, yeah, absolutely. I'd be doing that so often. So I get that. Yeah.
I think the only thing that's conscious, and well, I know it's only conscious after the fact, because someone, I can't remember who did a bit about it. They made fun of guys for taking off their shirts in a hot way. And then he minded it. I'm like, that's how I take my shirt off.
That's a Fumi Abe bit.
Yeah. Yeah. He did like, that's how I take my shirt off. I don't know. Am I doing this? Am I fucking 6 years old?
For the listeners, he is describing a joke by Fumi Abe where he demonstrates two different ways of taking off your shirt. One is two hands reached across
like
your body
Macarena.
And then pulling up.
Yes, like the Macarena. Exactly. Great,
pull
great, great pull. Great reference.
Is a, oh my God, I am a scared boy. pulling your limbs into your shirt and then shimmying the top of the shirt over your head.
It just doesn't seem like an efficient way of taking a shirt on. I'm not trying to take a shirt off. So that's the only thing I can think of. I like to go like, I don't think about it, but it's like, even in terms of like, I take my shirt off, she takes her shirt off. I take my pants off, she takes her, you know, like, bah, 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 bah. Yeah. Because at any point we can be like, let's stay at this level.
Right.
Like, let's fucking, yeah.
Yeah. No. I completely agree with that. Also, to go back to your first question, I thought of something, Kanice.
Yes.
I definitely like shave and stuff before I go on dates, and like make sure that like if my beard is like too unruly, if I feel like it's too unruly, before times I had a barber that I would go to, but now I'm like, okay, well I have my razors, my pubes razor and my face razor, So I can hit up the razor when I'm feeling a little bit unruly or unsettled. So then I'm like, yeah. Okay, I look fine now. I look presentable for women.
Nice. And that's the thing with, I think, male, with men in terms of like before date grooming. It's like, it's tiny little things, but they like, it's such a, it demonstrates so much effort and like care. It's like, oh my God, you trimmed your shitty beard. That's amazing. Thank you. And this woman did like an hour of makeup and, you know, like texted her friends about what outfit she should wear when we're totally. Like, a t-shirt and jeans? I don't know. You know, like it's just such a unfair amount of effort we need to put in.
Yeah. What's that? There's that evergreen Amy Schumer sketch from the Amy Schumer show where a guy texted her at like 8 a.m. and was like, hey, I'm going to be around. And then she just spends the entire day like prepping herself for sex, like getting waxed, you know, going, buying a new outfit, like shaving every part of her body. And then at the end of the day, he's like, actually, I'm not coming over. Like, you know that, you know? Yeah. So like it just, you know, highlights how much prep women put in for that, where we're just like, oh, it's 7. My date's at 8. It's 7 o'clock. I guess I should clean my apartment and shave, you know, and take a shower.
A breath mint.
Right. Yeah, put in a breath mint. Right. Exactly. Very simple, easy.
It's different.
It's totally different.
Canis, does that answer the question to a degree? Because I can't think of anything like, I don't do any necessarily performative. Yeah, I can't think of anything else.
Yeah.
Sort of. Okay, so I guess I'll tell you the origin of the question. So, like, I watched the Kehlani video. There are women dancing, imitating, or, like, I guess these are actual cam dancers, and they're, like, doing moves and stuff. And it just made me think the only time I've, like, enjoyed seeing, like, dudes take their clothes off, I went to a strip club in D.C. It was mainly a gay strip club, but there were a fair number of bachelorette parties there. But there was this one stripper who was, like, a lot of the guys, you could tell they were used to performing for guys, and they were doing things that like I think attract men more than attract women. So they were like, they're showing off their bodies, but in this way that's like kind of in the same way women show off their bodies to attract a man. One guy in particular, and I gave this man way too much money. It was a problem. I was drunk out of my fucking mind. But I probably, I probably gave him like $50.
Nice.
I pay people if I like what they do.
Boarding sex workers. Thank you, Canis.
Yes.
Yeah, Canis,
yes.
That's great.
So look at me, progressive.
Yeah, you're really progressive.
But he was doing
things that were
like...
Give me the hottest sex
worker money. He was doing things that were like more interesting to a woman. So like more like displaying strength instead of like a coquettish thing that women do. Like displaying strength, but also like, not like I'm looking at you, look at me, and I'm playing with that in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys do any of that?
Well, you know my stance on eye contact, so no.
I think that a lot of times heterosexual male sexuality, we like kind of like police ourselves and like don't be too like erotic, because then it's kind of falls into like looking or feeling feminine, and it's like don't do that. That always kind of like growing up, you're kind of like, well, don't do that. That's
girl. Yeah.
So like, if we're hooking up, I'll definitely like maybe pick her up or like push or grab, like showing that I'm very strong. That's always a plus. And the fact that I can kill someone with my hands if I wanted to, that seems to be a turn on.
Do you just say that?
No. They know beforehand. People date me for specific reasons. Yeah, that's about it. Holding down, stuff like that, consensually, all that, like aggression stuff. But like
taking charge.
It's about it, probably.
Okay.
Taking charge is a huge turn on for so many women. And it's like, if you can, for me, in like my experience, it's like, oh, you have, not that I have to be in the mood to take charge, but it's just like, there are certain situations where I know that she's just going to like it if I take charge. If I'm like, I'm taking off your top. Yeah. I'm like, you know, initiating whatever the initial action is. We're kissing. I'm kissing your neck. Are you gonna whatever? Like
Watching the Matrix again.
We're watching the Matrix together. I'm taking the lead in like whatever. I'm taking the lead. I turn off the TV so we don't have to watch the Matrix anymore. You know, like that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's like taking charge is such a thing that in general I struggle with, but like if we're, you know, kissing or whatever, I feel like we're romantically in line, then it's a little bit easier for me to do. But I would say that, like Diego said, showing that you're strong and that you're into her, that's like a way of showing that you're into her just by like taking control. So,
yeah.
Okay.
That's a funny part of like relationships in your like early 20s where as a guy, I don't know if this is me specifically too, but mm-hmm. like I am hyper easygoing. I don't care about it. Like, you know, like if she's happy, I'm psyched. I don't care what restaurant we go to. I don't give a shit what we watch. I like being next to this person. I don't care. But then it's like the always like putting the onus on them gets exhausting in any direction, but it's always, the decision's always on one person. It's not very attractive. But it's like, I know in my head, I remember being at one point in a relationship, them asking about a decision and my brain going like, you're going to be upset either way. So I don't know why I'm picking. And I'm like, well, fuck it. I'm picking anyway then. So like, then they were happier because it was like a weird argument I had in my head where it's like, you're going to be mad all the whole way. So I'm going to be wrong no matter what. So fuck it. Just be wrong decisively.
Wait, why did you think that you would be wrong no matter what?
Oh, girlfriends are always mad at me. I don't know. It's just my kind of habit in relationships. Girls that I date just like being mad at me. I don't know.
No, I think it's what you said earlier, Diego, because I'm the same way where like I'm like happy to be with you and happy that we're sitting on the couch. We could be doing nothing. We could be watching TV and not really watching and just kind of like sitting and like we could be on our phones, or we could just be like, you're in the kitchen and I'm on the couch or vice versa. And like, I like that we're together and then we can talk and like whatever. But I think that like eventually the women get mad at that because it's not showing like we're not decisive. It's a form of love, but it's not like a thing where it's like, okay, yeah, you like being with me, but I need more than just you like being with me. You know, I want you to take charge so that you can, you know, whatever, show that you're into the things that I'm into, even if that's not necessarily the case.
Even if it's not true, yeah.
Right, even if that's not necessarily the case, or you're like, that you listen to the things that I say, so you take charge,
it's
right?
It's partially that you like what they like and that you are decisive, but also that you have like taste and interest. If you have taste and interest, like, and they're doing like, when they're saying, hey, I want to go to this restaurant or I want to do this activity, it seems as though women are saying, people who are making decisions are saying, this is what I'm interested in. I'd like to share that with you. But if you never make plan, it feels like, well, what are you interested in? Like, why are you not sharing yourself and what you like and your tastes with me?
Yeah, my ex-girlfriend would get mad at me because all my date plans were like, let's go to the movies, because I love going to the movies. That's like my thing. Yeah. It's like, oh, love, and then we can talk about the movie after or whatever. And she was just like, why do you always only suggest movies? That it was like, it's not, you know, she's not wrong to be upset, but it was just like, oh, right, like, yeah, that, yeah. Yes, that's I am a much more complex person than going to see the movies, but
I'm boring. Sorry.
Yeah, it's also like doing more complex activities, like maybe planning a hike or like planning a picnic or something, is like shows that like, you know, you care about the relationship and you care about going above and beyond what you normally do to make somebody happy. I think, I don't know, I'm putting words in their mouth. My ex-girlfriends can come and answer.
But also shows that you're about them when they're not around. I feel like that's always kind of a concern with anybody, but it seems like a lot of times with the women I've dated, it's just like they don't have a confidence in the regard of like, do they think about me when I'm not around? Do they worry about, you know, because like I feel like when a woman dates, again, heterosexual generally speaking, women think a lot about the person they're dating. They even if they're like just kind of hooking up, they're like, how come they're not texting me? Well, I want to feel like they're thinking about me. And that's a very fair feeling to have.
Yeah.
I just think guys a lot of times are really poor at expressing that they are thinking about the person. Even if they are, it's hard.
Yeah. I would agree with that 100%. Like showing them that you care about them beyond the easiest possible thing you can do, frankly. Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I struggle with that too, Diego. I find that girlfriends are always mad at me as well in the past for a myriad of reasons, but that being one of them.
I've dated so many people who don't know what they want to do. And I mean, to be honest, I know what I want to do. Like, 95% of the time I'm like, I want to do this. I like this. I want this. Like, this is it's very clear to me. Mm-hmm. And I've dated a lot of guys for whom that is not at all the case. And then the people who I've dated who are like me, it is hard because we both know exactly what we want and it's not always lined up. And so it's this thing where it's like, I want this type of food. And they're like, well, I want this other type of food that's very different than the type of food that you want. So I do see the benefit of not always being the driver, even though I am always the driver, but I see the benefit of it. Sometimes somebody has to be the driver and somebody has to be the passenger.
Yeah,
right,
for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm I'm so much more comfortable being the passenger.
That's kind of important.
Yeah. Have you ever met someone who's like a mirror to you a little bit too much, and so then you stop liking them? Does that make sense? He was always choosing the restaurant. He was a bit of a snob, but like I'm a bit of a snob. But if someone is like snobby, like about the things that are not highbrow that I like, I'm like, this person's a dirty snob. And so just like, have you guys dated yourselves?
Yeah,
and then realize that you maybe aren't easy to be around. Have you guys done that?
I'm in a current situation that is like that. Yeah, where I'm where I'm dating somebody that is like me, but I recognized it pretty quickly, and we talked about it. Like I made sure that we talked about it. I was I was like, we're really similar, so I'm gonna need you. Like we're both gonna need. I said I'm gonna need you to do it because it was like. Hey, I'm also going to be in, but you know, whatever. I was like, hey, we're going to both need to be like, check in with each other and be like, is everything okay? Are we happy with this? Like, you know, we need to check in with each other and make sure that we're actually happy because we're both the type of people to be like, yeah, everything is going great because somebody actually likes us rather than, you know, us actually being happy. You know what I'm trying to say? So I was like, we need to keep checking in and making sure that like, we're not just saying yes to each other because we want to, it's because it's actually what we want. Okay. And it's been great, honestly.
Wait, update. Have you had the talk?
Not like, yeah, sort of. But like, again, I'm not officially.
No, it's not. If you say, you keep saying sort of. If you have, if you
I'm
say
going
sort
to
of,
visit. It's she not lives in Diego. She doesn't live in New York. She lives in Boston. And so I'm Classic. Going in a couple weeks.
Okay.
And then we're going to have like the actual talk.
Okay.
Not just like, I don't want to do it over the phone or over Zoom or over Skype. I want to do it in person. But
the talk
like,
about getting matching tattoos? Is that what
yes,
we're talking about?
Yes. Yes. We're talking about both going to get a coronavirus test together.
Oh, that's nice.
Getting a matching tattoo of our results. I just want to do it in person. We've talked around it enough where it's like we're both like, yeah, this is it. But like official, it's not.
Okay.
You know, I want to do those talks. I'd much rather do those talks in person.
Okay. All right. Yeah. In a couple weeks, I expect an update, just so you know.
Yeah.
I care about your well-being. I don't want you to be blindsided based on some misaligned expectation because you haven't talked it out.
No, we both also like said the other day that we deleted our dating apps and like don't use them and stuff. So it's like, come on. It's like, might as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So
that's
like, it's like at this point, it's like a formality. Yeah.
To answer Kinesis' question, I've never dated anyone that's like very similar to me. I think because A, I'm not necessarily attracted to myself in that regard, and B, I feel like I'm a quite specific person. So I don't think I've really met someone that's like that similar to me. Like there's people that have the same sense of humor as me, mm-hmm. but then rarely are they also as like physically competitive as me. Like I just think I have a weird combination of things. But I don't know. Yeah, everyone I've dated is great, and I miss them all so much.
But are you friends with your exes?
Friendly. Like I'm on good terms with the three major relationships I've had in my life were all on pretty good terms. I saw my main ex last year at a wedding. We danced together and talked. Yeah, we're all on pretty good terms.
That's great. Yeah.
I don't talk to any of my exes.
Really?
We're not enemies. I mean, I don't have that many exes because I don't call many people that I air quotes date my boyfriend, but yeah, none of them, like we don't hang out. I haven't seen them. I also move around a lot. So it's like, oh, like what the guy who now lives on a boat in Russia, the guy who is married in Massachusetts, the guy who's married with like eight kids in North Carolina. No.
Who's the Jason Statham guy?
Oh, the British guy. He lives on a boat in Russia half of the year, and half of the year he lives in the UK.
Oh, okay.
Love this guy.
Yeah.
He was very nice.
Yeah. It just seems like aggressively. Like I always think about that guy because he seems like so aggressively your type. You know what I'm saying? Like really like the meet cute is like you guys, he bumps into you and then you're just like, oh my, like, you know, whatever. I don't know. Your
That's
eyes turn into the heart red. I know. I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know what I'm saying.
We were at a party. We met. I had threw events in LA. He came to the events. We met at a party. We got into this cornhole tournament, and we were just like tearing into each other. Like, I
on a first date?
No, this is just like hanging out with a lot of people. Oh, boo.
Butthole. It's so good for a podcast.
Yeah.
I knew I liked that guy because he said, I will destroy you. And I said, I will destroy you. You better
I'll
watch your ass.
I'll destroy you, Ganace. I'm going to kick your... Yeah. Go ahead,
Ganace. So I wanted to ask a follow-up question about something we were talking about before. So both of you, underwear is a big part of like how you're like, I'm being sexy for a date. But what are the models that like taught you how to be sexy?
Ooh, really good question.
Yeah, great question. The models that taught me how to be sexy.
It's like, I know the things that taught me how to, like,
yeah,
attempt in that way.
I think James Bond is the first one that sticks out to me. He was, like, very, like, horny and, like, fucked a lot.
Yeah.
And it's like, but he also, like, wore nice suits and had his, like, was panache and kind of suave and confident and mysterious to a degree. That's probably the biggest one for me now that I think about it. That's a really great question.
I don't think that I have like a person per se that is like stylistically, this person is someone that I try to admire, but like, or like try to emulate, but like I will notice like things that guys are wearing that I like, and I'll just slowly imitate them. And like, for example, like, okay, this is actually, there's this basketball player named James Harden, and he wears a lot of bonobo shirts, and I really love the way that they looked on him, so I bought like a couple of them. So I was oh yeah, these look good. You know what I'm saying? I don't have
He actually wears bonobos, the brand?
I think he this is like 2 years ago. I don't think he does it anymore because all NBA fashion like changes so quickly.
$40 shirts, yeah.
Right, yeah. So like, I think that, I associated them with bonobos because they just look like bonobo shit. It's probably like $1,000. It's probably much more expensive than that, right?
Yeah.
But like, but I saw they fit so well on him and they look great. And like, Westbrook wore the same stuff. Russell Westbrook, another basketball player, was wearing like similar shit. And I was like, oh, these look good. I wonder if they look good on me. And then I was like, I went and I tried it on and shit. I was like, oh, yeah.
I mean, style and aesthetic are, I think, quite different from what kind of vibes and mannerisms you saw in men that was selling the idea of sexuality and being sexual. And it's not really sold to at least boys in the same way it's sold or pushed upon girls, I think is a better way of saying. Man, I feel like this could be like this one question should be like an entire podcast. Like,
yeah.
It's also like the way that sexuality is taught to boys is not really like, it's not like how you treat yourself, but it's the amount of women that you conquer, essentially, right?
Yes.
Like, it's about dating a lot of women. It's about the thrill of the chase. It's about solving notches in the belt. It's about, like, I really hate to say this because it's the first, it's coming to my head.
Don't say the N-word.
No. I'm going to say the I word. Yeah.
What is the I word?
Innovation. So like all these like tech bros are always like, you got to be on top of like whatever it is you're doing. You have to be innovating. You can't just be sitting like, you know, like you can't be idle. You have to always be moving. And that's how like male sexuality is sort of treated too, where it's like, okay, yeah, you have this like hot girl, but then like, what's the next hot girl you're gonna get? What's the next hot girl you're gonna get after that? Like, how are you gonna push through all these hot women? And like, the peak of sexuality is not like, hey, James Bond dresses nice or whatever. It's that James Bond sleeps with a lot of women.
But how does he do that? Like,
and that's the thing.
Yeah, that's
sure. How do you do that? And that is something that I never understood, but like, you're not really taught how to do it. You're just taught that that's the right thing to do.
You're almost taught how to not do it. Like, I remember thinking about like hanging out with, when I was like 13 or 14, hanging out with the older kids that are like 18 and 19. And I, for some reason, was very clear to the differences between myself as a young teenage boy and these kids are older teenage boys. And it's just the ability to relax and calm yourself down, where I'm like, I was a teenager, I was like so super giddy and like screaming and like always wanting attention. And it's like, that's super unattractive. But like, when you start relaxing and sitting back a little bit and like processing interactions, that inherently is a little more attractive. So like, as I got older, it was more about just like, do less is more, relaxing, being a little more patient and confident, and just very James Bond. But this specific is an example as I can think of right now. Everything else is like also just violence.
Yeah. It's that confidence thing we were talking about earlier. It's just like
any action movie, it's the star who gets the girl, the guy who kills the bad guy, the guy who beats everybody up. That's the one who gets the girl. And did that influence my life quite a bit? Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. You were like, he's funny and he kicks butt. What are the two things I'm going to do with my life?
Has tattoos. Yeah.
Yeah, has tattoos. Really.
A lot of roommates.
Really in shape. Yeah. Yeah, we all know James Bond, 7 roommates.
Yeah, that's what it's we all know. Seven. Yeah. He lives in the 7th room. We get it. Yeah.
Yes. But I would say that it is like a lot about like what Diego said is like what you're not supposed to do. Like, for example, show that you have feelings, show that you're sensitive. Like, right. That like, at least when I was growing up, it's just like, don't be sensitive around women, be confident. And being confident means being arrogant and like, kind of like take what is yours as a man. And I was always very uncomfortable with that. And I'm still uncomfortable with that at some level, but it's really like about not being on all the time, and like Jay said, being confident, being like relaxed, being fucking chill, like being confident in who you are and like what you want, essentially. But that's so hard. That's like, I still struggle with that, wanting to impress people like that. I approach my teens and like 20s like nobody would like me, so I'm just gonna be on all the time. Like, I'm gonna be funny all the time. I'm gonna be like joking. I'm gonna be like, I'm going to try my best to be the center of attention all the time. So you don't actually really get to know me, but you think that I'm a cool person. So it's like that kind of thing.
Oh. That's definitely the trap of a comedian, of the always being on, always making jokes. And like, I think the best quality a comedian can have is knowing when not to be funny, or knowing when to just like fucking shut up. You know,
yes.
It's unbearable being around someone who just won't stop riffing. It's like, hey man, I like you already. We're buddies.
Yeah. We don't have to do this all the time.
You don't have to riff 24/7.
Yeah.
Like,
it's so exhausting.
Yeah, I agree. But sometimes I'm with people and then I know that I can't hang out with other people around them because I know that he's just this person. It's not just one person, but it's mostly guys who I'm friends with.
Yeah.
And it's just like, this person, where it's just going to be us two because he's only wants to riff. And I'm like, okay, I'll riff, but we can't hang out with other people because if we hang out with other people, then we have to take into account their concerns. And I know that one of us isn't going to do that. So let's just not even do it. We both have to do it. So
in that term, can I ask what things do you find, like, not performative, but like the things that you find yourself being attractive in men, in terms of mannerisms or how they carry themselves, stuff like that?
I have a long list. Okay. Because I think about this stuff all the time. All right.
Yeah.
So you guys, I think that you're 100% correct when you're like, if women like a man, they like all of the parts. So like, I was like, okay, good hands, okay? Mm-hmm. So like, not just like hands that look like they are physically capable. Like, there are even people with like softer, daintier hands that can make it work. But there's got to be a level of care in what they're doing with their hands. I would say like clumsiness does the opposite of a turn me on.
Yeah.
But someone who can like carefully do something that's like methodical and controlled. Restrained has like a negative connotation to a lot of people.
It's
a very positive connotation to me, but just like a restrained, in control nature. And that means where they're placing their feet, where they're placing their hands.
It sounds like you're describing how to finger a woman the best way.
Restrained.
Although a lot of men do need to learn how to do that, because just stop just pressing around the area.
Lots of shows you how to do it. I'm not gonna lie.
Like, I gotta scratch off.
And I don't know if it's on YouTube anymore, but I learned about it from this clip on Conan where he had like a sex expert, and he was just like, and she was just like, all she's like, the most important thing is that you put your fingers in, one or two, however you're doing it, and then just is like, come forward. That's like how you do it. Come forward. Come hither.
Come forward.
That's like the basic.
There's like a lot of different
There are a lot of different ways.
But don't fucking cut your nails. I swear to God. Yeah. I swear to God.
Now that's something I because I've been told this before, it's something that I do before dates. Before all dates. Like, regardless of,
it's like, was I sliced? What the fuck is it? Like, it's just, it's bad news if you don't cut your fucking fingernails.
Yeah.
Also, if you don't cut your fingernails, and I am thinking of one person and he has listened to the podcast, whatever. I hope to God he listens and he takes this to heart.
Take notes.
A, cut your fingernails to be a reasonable length as to not scratch someone if you're going to be putting your fingers inside their vagina. Mm-hmm. B, fucking clean under the small amount that, like, exposed fingertip to nail. Make sure that is clean, because if I see that there's dirt underneath your fingernails, I'm sorry, I have no interest in having your fingers inside me. I don't want them near my face. I don't want them near my mouth. I don't want them near my vagina. Just all of that is bad. Make sure that you're clean, fucking cleaning your fingernails. Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's why I put gloves on to finger a woman.
Honestly, yep. Honestly, I watch a fair amount of porn where they do that, and it's not bad. Okay,
it's not bad.
What? Like rubber gloves? Like, or
whatever, latex gloves?
Like those black latex gloves?
The black ones,
big fan. Of course.
Wait, what?
Because then you lube up the gloves, and it's just very smooth and nice.
It reflects the light nicely. It's a good look, Roha.
It's a good look, because it feels
like a tattooer.
Yeah, it looks great.
Does it feel good? genuine question. Does it feel good?
Well, Chris, have you been fingered with a glove?
No, I haven't, and it's very disappointing.
What?
You come over, I got some gloves.
You got to have gloves on? I didn't know that if that's a thing that you want to do, if you want someone to do, you should have gloves.
I should buy, but I think everyone who I've dated has like medium to large size hands. I'm just like, okay, I don't want to buy like different sizes of gloves. But I could, I actually should. I should get them on Amazon and be like, hey, put this on. As dudes, would that, you'd be okay with that, Diego?
I would love it.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I feel like, because I've had sex before. I feel like a lot of times women are shy to tell you what they like, and it's always like it's I have to be like a little detective. I'm like, I'll hold their arm down a little bit. Like, did they respond well to that? No. Okay. Like, oh, I'll hold their hair. Did they respond well to that? It's like sometimes it's fun figuring it out, and I really like that in the beginning stages. But it's also sometimes fun being like, I want you to spit in my mouth. It's like fucking awesome. Just say so. I'll do whatever. I'm a team player.
I like.
So I'm very against spitting.
I've been scolded for asking. I have been scolded for asking, and I've also been complimented for asking, but I always ask.
That's the thing.
Nice.
Well, you got to ask.
If I may, this is a thing I've noticed with, I think it's a lot of times jokes because it's where I hear most things from men or from anyone, but I think a lot of times, and this is such a detriment to male thinking where it's like, I held the door open for a woman and she said, thank you. And then I held the door open for another woman and she got mad at me. It's like, A, no, she didn't. And B, people are different. Isn't that weird how human beings are different and they vary?
Yeah.
You can't think of just because you're attracted to women, they're all going to respond the exact same way to all things. So it's like
that's true.
Being able to be like innovative. No, being able to improvise and play off the cuff and know how to talk and deal with one person at a time and see how they respond to things is a skill set that's attractive.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely agree with that.
Yeah.
But it's also like it I just ask like some like things like about like pulling hair or like what, you know, it like do you, you know, if I'm going down, you do want me to use my fingers or not? Like I'll ask sometimes because it's just like I find it easier to ask. So like let's say I do try to use my fingers and she's like, no, and I'm like, then I won't feel bad. I'll be like, oh, okay. Yeah, fine, no problem. You know?
I respect if a guy is doing like the experimentation dance, I will not give as much feedback because I'm like, he's going to get there. You know, he's going to get to the answer.
Yeah.
But if a guy isn't doing that, I will just straight up be like, put your fingers here. Like, I'll try to say it in like a nice, sexy way. And
yeah. Tone is huge.
Yeah. Not like a disappointed mom voice, but like ooh la la voice, you know?
Yeah. Wait, can I tell you something that happened that I think is funny for
you? Yeah. Hit me.
I was having sex and she has a lofted bed. So like we're close to the ceiling and she got on top and her head was hitting the ceiling. And she said, God, I wish I had another inch and a half. And I'm so proud of myself for not saying, yeah, you're preaching to the choir on that one. Like, me both, sister. You know, like I was so happy with being able to pull back that restraint as a comedian to not make the best joke ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I think tone is huge when you're giving direction in a sexual, as well, it depends also how like how new is it. If it's a little bit like you've done it a decent amount of times, you could be a little ruder and that's kind of hot too. But like the early times, you kind of want to be like, hey, left or not so much cursing, you know, whatever.
Like, move up just slightly.
Don't
you know?
Say God's name in vain while you're fingering me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know those people.
My favorite little note is always when a woman is just like move up like slightly. when you're going down on somebody, because then it's like, oh, I was almost there. And then you just gave me like the little nudge to be like, okay, I got it. But yeah, because sometimes, you know, you think you're in the right place and it's just like, oh, you're just like slightly off. Instead, if they were just like, if they were like pulling my head up and put me in the right position, I'd feel really bad. But
you feel bad?
Just like,
that's yeah. Like dudes don't like that. Okay.
No. Not. I wouldn't necessarily say that. Some dudes are like, that's great, and they want that to happen. I only feel bad because it's like, I'm 33 years old. I should have known that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, no, you're learning a new person. Why would you know that?
It's a different puzzle.
Agreed. It is. I'm just saying that, like, for me, it's not that. It's just it's a me thing. It's not like them. It's not about them.
The stereotype of men not being able to find the clit is like one thing. It's like hardy har. I get it. Funny joke. Also very, very true. But
it's
like
so true.
Here's the thing. Women, no one. The joke and the idea. I don't fucking have a clit. I don't know how many guys are
right,
missing.
Exactly.
But what I find funny, and I don't give a shit too much to talk about it like openly, but this is a podcast about sex. But it's like, we don't fucking talk about how, like, let's say I'm going down a woman and I am on her clit, how she's like moving her hips and like grinding back into my face. So it's like,
yes,
well, now I'm trying
you.
To like track this motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly.
She's moving around.
Don't move.
I feel like I'm a fighter pilot and like I'm trying to line up the crosshairs with the fucking jet.
This is something. Yeah, just.
I
mean,
how would we not move? If we're like, that's how we demonstrate we're having a good time,
that's
Rohan.
The thing. No.
I love it.
Exactly.
But you're going to make fun of guys. You gotta add that caveat.
Yeah. No, that's how you know it's working. Exactly. That's how you know you're doing good. When it becomes a little bit harder. But also, sometimes it's just like, okay, like, you got it. It's like, come on, man. Like, just... You can move a little bit less so that I can be consistent.
I use a wrestling technique if they're moving a lot, I'm trying to hold up, where I my arms go under their legs and then my hands go over their stomach and I pin them down. And
oh
then
my
I just,
God. That's great. That takes a lot of confidence. That's great.
Yeah. I did martial arts for a little bit. I did Krav Maga for a while. When I date someone, I'm always like, I can tell that they have done martial arts in the past based on the jiu-jitsu that they incorporate into what they're doing. I'm like, okay, that leg turnover thing, I remember that. Okay, we get it. You took some lessons. Okay.
He just leg dragged me to fuck me from behind.
Yeah, that's got to be such a benefit if you know any sort of like mixed martial arts in the bedroom. Like, just like where you have more flexibility, you know, like how to, you know, pin someone down, but like be more in control. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you can be a little bit more rough in a fun way.
In a safe way.
Yeah. Exactly. In a fun and safe way.
Three things about that. The safety thing first. I know how to choke somebody to the right way where it's not air, it's blood. So I know where to put pressure. I know how long of pressure they need before they pass out. So like I that's a cool layer of it. Two, my own ability to remain calm and breathe and take my time. That I've noticed for me has helped a lot because I did have sex before learning how to fight once or twice. And now I have sex with someone who knows how to fight. You're like, oh, there's definitely some skill sets that transfer there. And then thirdly, being able to like think in terms of efficiency of movements. So like, I know that if I pull them as I push, it's just like more than if it's one direction. You know, like it's a symphony of movement is more, I'm smarter in that way, if that makes sense.
That makes sense?
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Rohan, are you going to take martial arts?
No, I can't. I
would love, okay, so Rohan, you know that I love you tremendously.
Yes.
I don't want you to go full-fledged CrossFit dad.
No.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I know.
CrossFit dads who are like, this is my identity now, like that, like a little bit much.
Yeah.
But I would like to see you with some like happy medium.
Honestly, if I lived alone, I've been thinking about this because we might lease up in November. I'm thinking about like, maybe I should live alone. And it's like, if I lived alone, that would be kind of like one of the first things I did was like, because most of my like exercise and like the way that I take care of my body is like through cardio. And I'm like, I go on a bike ride or like I do like whatever. I'm running on the elliptical when gyms are open and stuff. And like now I've been dieting. So it's like, oh, okay. Like I'm like trying to eat more fruits and vegetables and stuff. Right. So it's like, okay. But I would love to, like, if I had my own space to just, like, yeah, have the diet that you need to, like, really, like, get ripped. And then also, yes, exactly. And then have,
get kettlebells.
the kettlebells, exactly. And like do like concerted, not just planks and like whatever, the pull-ups on the pull-up machine or whatever. Like do like concerted like weight training exercises. And then like, you know, like
I will say Diego is starting to offer hitting him in the park business. I saw it on the internet, so
yeah.
You could get started.
Yeah. I might take you up on it, Diego, truly.
Come by. I'm gonna be at the park like every day basically.
Oh, that's great.
I think for everybody, but like masculinity, where it's just like lifting iron, lifting like metal is very good for our minds. And also like squatting heavy, like that raises testosterone. That's part of it. That's like it's scientifically proven, you know, like it's going to make you feel better in so many different ways. And that confidence you get from being able to like press a heavy kettlebell, like you just feel better about yourself. Totally. It's huge. No plank, no long walk can do that, you know?
Yeah. No, it's better truly. Than
nothing. I'm psyched you're doing
Yeah. You know,
not to go into too much of a pussy on your own podcast.
No, please. That's totally fine, to be honest. Yeah, mine are all like very much like I'm doing this for the endorphins. Like I have like a very like regimented like way of doing. Like I know exactly why I'm doing things, but like it's good to get outside of your comfort zone and like it's good to lift and like, you know, build your muscles and like build your strength. Cause like you said, the one I did like lift a little bit more, like you feel so great after that. It's like a different type of feeling and you feel good about your body. And then you feel good about, you know, that translates into being more confident in like personal interactions and shit. So yeah it's really good.
Hell
every guy should exercise. You don't have to work out, but you should exercise.
There's nothing wrong with working out.
There's nothing wrong with working out, of course, but like some people are just not comfortable with it. Yeah. Everyone should exercise, man or woman. That's true.
Yeah.
Sure. Not
it's
just
huge
that.
for your.
Yeah. I do miss hitting things, though. So I, too, am going to have to take you up on that, Diego.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is your quarantine over, Kanise?
No, I haven't got my results back.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So the lady who did my hair, she called me the next day to tell me that she tested positive for COVID. So I've just been sitting in my house since then. Like I got tested the day she called me, went, got tested, but it's taking like 10 days to get responses now. Like to get
you
results.
Should, call City MD like after 10 days, just call them. They might be able to just give it to you on the spot.
Yeah. It's been, today is the 10th day ninth day.
And how many days? So yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cause I was like, this weekend, this is outside. We don't have to include this, but I was like, you and I should go biking this weekend. But then I remembered, I was like,
staying inside.
She's staying inside. Cause they're stupid. The quarantine. I was like,
Although somehow, and I think they went to hospitals instead of to City MDs. They got tested. They got like anyone else who's been in contact with Amina. They all got tested and somehow all of them have their results faster than me and they're all negative. So it does give me hope that like it's very unlikely that weird. I have it. I have no symptoms, so
good. Have you
Fingers
been dating have you been dating in quarantine, Diego?
I've seen some people.
Okay, gotcha.
I love the very diplomatic answers always.
Yeah, gotcha.
I've seen a person physically.
Have seen mm-hmm. which is mm-hmm. Seen physical.
A woman. How about that? I get a little more specific. I've seen a woman.
Yeah.
And she's seen me.
Is it weird? Because like it's almost like it's almost irresponsible to see multiple people unless you're like constantly getting tested. So is that like something that you talked about with whoever you saw or who you're seeing? Like, hey, let's get tested first. Or like, how are we making sure that we both don't have coronavirus?
Yeah, I think it kind of in the same regard as you would talk to someone about like other things you might have, you know, it's like, have you been tested recently? Like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Mostly stuff like that. It's pretty simple. And it's also, it's like, A, we're luckily all in New York. And it's like, all right, New York is right now one of the safest places you can be to a degree.
Sure.
Am I wearing a mask? Yes. You know, so it's like, I've waited a long time before doing anything. So it's like, you know, I'm going to kill myself if I don't fuck a person, but
yeah.
I did my best.
No, I same. Like the first, you know, few months of quarantine, I just didn't even use the app because I was like, "There's no safe way to do this," and I would feel weird. But then, I started talking to someone, so it was nice.
Hell yeah! I am talking to a few people, and I don't know what's going.
Ooh,
to happen to them.
You saw someone though, right?
I was seeing someone. Then this whole confinement thing for me happened, and I don't know. our conversation is like, is this going to continue after my confinement ends? I don't know. But I'm talking to somebody else now that lives closer. Living closer is a benefit. Yes. And I'm like, maybe I'll talk to this person.
Okay, okay. What app?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm on several because I like to diversify my stock portfolio. Mm-hmm. And Tinder. The other person was from OkCupid. This new person is from Tinder.
Okay, gotcha. Cool. Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's great. And they live closer.
Yeah.
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 Did you have you sexted with this person?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's how you do. Yeah.
That is an important part of any.
Denise is a big sexter.
Yeah.
Me too. Hey, back at you.
Man.
This brings it back to the thing. So, like, models for being sexy is
what. Oh, yeah.
So, like, some of the things that I watched when I was like forming my ideas of like what adult relationships were include like sexting and phone sex, and so now like. That is like an important part of it for me. I just rewatched The Truth About Cats and Dogs. Have you guys seen this movie?
Oh, not in a long time, but yeah. Janine Garofalo's in it, right?
Yeah, Janine Garofalo's in it. Yeah. Uma Thurman's in it. Ben Chaplin's in it. It is, as a person who has always dealt with like self-confidence issues, it is something that like really hits me deep in my soul. And I've loved this movie since I was a kid, but there is like this extended like phone sex scene. And yeah, I'm like, I'm an adult. That's what you do. And so it shocks me when other adults are like, why are you texting me about being wet? Like, what are we doing here? You know?
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. I like sexting, like actual phone sex where you're talking. I think I'm a little bit hesitant to it just because I have roommates. I just feel like it's just like they can hear me. It's just not.
Yep.
Have sex though.
In my head a little bit, kind of ruins the mood. Sexting, sending pictures, sending videos. Yeah, that's different. I don't know why that's different. Because during sex, I'm never like, I'm going to put my dick in you. I just do it. You know, like, it's the you're going to get made fun of thing because I live with fucking comedians. It makes it more difficult.
No, I like to talk during sex, so I need I'm a little self-conscious about having sex in my apartment. Like,
I imagine Rohan just having sex and being like, cool weather today, huh?
Yeah. Oh my god. Oh my god.
You called your mom recently?
It was nice outside today, wasn't it? Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Tell me how good that soup was.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't do bits. It's all dirty talk, and I don't like to do bits during sex. Although I almost did one, and I restrained myself.
What was it?
I started watching Big. I can't believe I'm going to admit this. I guess sure, we can leave this in. I watched the show Big Mouth, and then
it's funny.
Jason Mantzoukas' character has sex with a pillow, and then one of the things that he says is, "I'm 40." That's his. That's a dirty talk, I guess. He's like, "I'm 40," and then
that's so funny.
And then I almost said it was during sex, like, you know,
cause I'm 40.
Because we both knew, like, we both watched the show, and so it was like, "Oh, ha ha ha, that would be funny," because we both would know, but I just didn't say it because I was like, "No, this is too good now." I'm not going to ruin it.
I would be weirded out if a man while inside me shouted, "I'm 40.
But like, she would know. I know that she would get the reference and she would know immediately. Oh, okay. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's not like, it's not just like out of nowhere.
Okay. Kanis, do you like when you're talking to someone, do you like surprise like pictures like out of nowhere? Like no lead up to sometimes getting a picture from that person?
Yeah.
Or do you always want it to be, you like surprise ones?
Okay. I like surprise ones. I have to recognize both my age, but like how I've been sexting for like a long time. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite things is to get like a dirty picture, a dirty message while I'm at work, while I like have to be maintaining some sort of composure. And then to be able to like have that as like a fun secret for myself. And so many dudes don't do that. And it's like, come on, interrupt. Not like in a bad way, but like, come on, interrupt my day a little bit. Like, give me something to think about for later. Yeah.
Right.
Help the time pass. And it's like, I like when I, as a guy started realizing the female sexuality, a lot of times is like build up is fun. And like ramping up is very fun. And it's like, oh, I never thought of it that way. Then it became a more fun game. Cause like, I knew it was like, what would be the equivalent, but just ramping things up for later is it makes the payoff for that much greater at the end. It's foreplay.
It is foreplay. It's like a It's long distance foreplay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rohan, yeah. What do you do to ramp up anticipation?
Oh, like when we're not together, or like when I'm not a big sexter, but I like dancing around it.
What does that mean?
I like talking. I like flirting. I can flirt.
Okay.
And I like doing that. And then, I like flirting. That's fun.
Does she try to push it further and you just like,
no.
Okay.
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, sometimes, like in the past, like when I have, some women have, but like most of them don't. And okay. I'm like, oh, that's fine. I like it that way. And okay. if they push it forward, then I can play along. I'm not bad at playing along, but I'm not going to I'm not going to initiate a sex.
Okay.
You know what's funny? Literally, probably three in the podcast, I get a notification on my screen and it comes down and this person sent you a video. I'm like, I can't wait till this podcast is over so I can look at this fucking video. And in my head, it's kind of playing around in there. And I'm like, I fucking can't wait. But it's the same thing. Like, it's excitement for what I'm going to get to see in a couple minutes.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
I know. Isn't it great? That is very nice. When you see like someone that you like have been dating and it's like sends you an image and it's like, ooh, what is it going to be?
Yeah. That kind of thing.
Yeah. 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 That's a great anticipatory feeling.
It's silly, but I love having to hide my phone. I love it.
Oh.
I love like being in public and then having to be like, what? No, it's not important. No, continue what you were saying. I'm definitely paying attention. Yeah.
That's like my literal my nightmare.
Yeah. That's your nightmare?
Yeah. That stresses me out.
Oh, I love that stress.
No.
I love being sent a workplace nude. Those are fun because you're not supposed to be doing it.
Ooh.
Yeah, you're breaking the rules.
Damn, a workplace rules. Nude.
Yeah.
I mean, give it a shot. I mean, now we all work at home, so.
Don't send it to me, Rohan, but
yeah.
I'm like, this is not what I meant.
Diego, what do you think of this nude? It's just,
Be
completely flaccid. Diego, when you send nudes, do you send your nudes hard or soft? What do you do?
I have a combination of things.
You have a combination of things?
Yeah.
That's a legit question, hard or soft?
Yeah.
The key is to be like kind of somewhere in between, which is very hard.
Yeah. But,
yeah.
Why?
Because it shows potential. It demonstrates like, well, maybe this could get a little harder if we did something about it.
Right.
But also not showing you, because your dicks can get quite small no matter who you are. And so it's I'm not going to show you like, got out of the shower, it's cold kind of dick. But like,
exactly.
Summertime, me just walking around my house looks great. So
exactly. Right. Yeah. For sure. But it got to be like fully hard is like, all right, you've ruined the mystique.
It's intense. But,
it's intense. Yeah. It can be real intense. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like fully hard, like, and you're like not about to have sex. Is like your dick just did like three bumps of cocaine, and it's just like I'm ready. I'm ready for whatever comes next. Ah, and that's like
no one has ever sent me a soft penis in my life.
I'm not saying.
And
it has
I think
to be.
They're all. I think they've all been fully hard, and that's never been like wow, softer, please.
It's more of an internal thing, I guess.
Okay.
It's for me. It's not really. It's like in that sense.
Hey, it will be an internal thing if you play your cards right.
Yeah. Yes. Boom.
Where's the camera?
Boom.
There it is.
There we go.
They're doing listeners. Dude they're doing
rock.
Some weird.
I don't think Kinesis is laughing at that joke.
High fiving via the cameras. It is a choice.
We're chest bumping.
Exactly.
No. All right, we are coming up on the hour. We always end every episode with final thoughts, things that you thought about, things you might have reconsidered, things you just want listeners to know about you. Rohan, do you have any final thoughts?
Last week, my final thoughts were like thinking about how I approach dominance and submissiveness in the bedroom. And now I need to think about like how I think about myself as a sexual person, like, you know, how I present myself sexually. Cause I never really thought about that until you asked some of these questions today. So
yeah.
I'm gonna do a little bit more meditating on that. You know, I'm going to be more deliberate in recognizing when I want to look sexy and when I'm just like, hey, I'm just dressing out to go out. You know, like what I'm wearing now, it's like not not trying to be sexy for anyone. But what
I just want to go outside and not get arrested.
Yeah. Right.
Most
exactly.
Men's level.
Right. I will say that there's some days. This is a slight aside, but there is some days where I deliberately go out like shit because like it's like ooh, I'm a celebrity. Like, you know, you see like celebrities in like tabloids and shit. And they like,
and they're just all
look,
dressed like
and
shit.
They just look normal. They just look fucking normal. Like, they dress like shit because they're human beings. And so I'm like, ooh, this is like my dress like shit day. And
you
I'm
have fine. To put on shades and like avoid people. And then
oh, yes,
I'm
for sure. But no, like okay. I'm always like in those times, especially in the winter, it's so much easier to do it. But it's just like I have shades on or like I'm just like, I don't want to be bothered or talked to. It's very obvious.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think about presentation of everything all the time. Like that's something that I'm very interested in. And I'm realizing that because dudes aren't encouraged to think of themselves as objects to be presented at all times, that I should cut them a little bit, a tiny, infinitesimally small amount of slack for not presenting in a certain way. But I will say I've been thinking about how to present since I was a child. And yeah. Oh, I didn't answer the question for myself. The model for sexuality as an adult was Rene Russo in The Thomas Crown Affair. I dressed like that in high school. People were like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Does not matter. It's still great.
I'm an art
you should all
dealer.
Watch that movie. Yeah.
But see, this is the thing. What's so good. Funny is that Rene Russo is like, it's not only that she's attractive and like hot, but she's also like a little older and she's sexy. She's like so sexy in a way that somebody under the age of 20 cannot be like that sexy, you know? So it's just so funny in high school that like you dressed
that was
like,
my aesthetic.
You immediately got that is like the idea that because that Rene Russo is so attractive, like it's and it's like not even funny, and like but she's really 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 sexy, and it's very hard when you're younger to be sexy, but like when you're older it's like, oh man.
When you're a kid, it's weird. And I tweeted about this and I talked about a guy that I was sort of seeing. I talked to him about it and he's like, yeah, that's weird as shit. But like, yeah, the same year, like that, I auditioned for like the school play by doing a monologue from Eyes Wide Shut. Like when you're a kid.
Oh my God, dude.
When you're like a teenager and you see these images and you're like, I know that is sexy, but it's super weird when like a very young person does it. Yeah. So yeah, it's a thing I'll work on. Okay, age appropriate sexiness, but I'm getting older, so
now now it's fine.
Yeah.
Now it's great. Like I'm just saying that you like it's just very fine. You were like ahead of the game, is what I'm saying. Like you were ahead of the curve.
Nicole
like you
Kidman
got it
in the bedroom underwear monologue where he talks about the guy. Yeah, it's fucking shit.
The sailor. Yeah.
It's hot.
It's weird for a 14-year-old girl.
Totally.
But it's also like in that particular movie, it's also like it's not coming from a place of like their relationship is incredibly repressed.
Yeah.
Her and Tom Cruise. So it's like coming from a place of like, I am so horny and tied up, like like emotionally horny and physically horny, and like this is me just like dumping all of my horniness onto the world in a way that if you didn't know anything about sex, it would sound very sexy.
It's like weird for a virgin to say.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because to a virgin, you're like, yes, that's what sex is supposed to be like. But Nicole Kidman is just like, please, I need this in my fucking life because I'm not getting it from my fucking husband. You know, like that kind of thing. So,
same. Anyway. And 14 Canadians is like, same.
Yeah,
same,
yeah. Me too. I get it.
I got
page.
It.
Same.
We're on the, yeah. Page. Oh my God. Yes, Nicole. Thank you.
Diego, what about you? What are your final thoughts?
Final thoughts. Men, put some effort in presenting yourself. Think of yourself as a sexual object. And how do people perceive you both in terms of aesthetics and how you carry yourself? I think that's an important thing to do. Get a nice winter cologne and a nice summer cologne, or you know, like fucking moisturize your face for God's sakes.
Yeah,
things like that to me are huge. And get strong. It helps your brain lift heavy shit, and then get punched in the face occasionally because you're not made of glass, but you're also not invincible.
Yeah,
Rohan, I'd love to see you after getting punched in the face.
I'll do it before.
You've been punched in the face?
Yeah, like once.
Who punched you?
It was an accident. Someone in high school. Okay. Yeah.
Doesn't count.
Yeah. So,
I was like, I'll fight them. No.
No. It was fine. Those are great thoughts. Agreed.
All right. So this has been Love About Town. Diego, where can people find you on the internet?
At this Diego Lopez on both Instagram and Twitter, and I have a podcast with my best friend and roommate called A Little Time Podcast, also on the Brain Machine Network.
Yeah!
Yes. Hey. Hell yeah,
crossover,
dude.
Crossover episodes, baby!
Woo! Yeah.
Listen to my podcast or DM me.
Yeah, DM me. That's the ultimate plug.
yes, if you follow Diego on Instagram
my DMs are
on Twitter, check out, because thirst traps for days.
Oh, okay. Yeah, truly. Also, yeah, I'm saying this too. DM me if you want to, just because I just follow, I Roman Pied Cool Guy on Instagram. Just fucking DM me, say hi. Like, it doesn't even have to be a thirsty DM. It's just a hello, how are you DM. I love those.
I love you. You want to, I love you.
Oh, yeah, say I love you. Say I love you. That's a great DM. I love the hello, how are you DMs. So
yeah,
DM me at Roman Pied Cool Guy. And listen to this podcast and, like, you know, like, rate, review, say nice things about Kenise and I, and just really just be nice to us in a review and a 5-star review. Yeah.
I'll leave one now after this.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Thanks,
Diego.
Oh, no, I already have. I already have.
Oh,
okay. Oh, yes.
Even better. Thank you.
Thank you.
You can find me at Kenise Mobley on all the platforms. That's Insta, that's Twitter, that's Venmo. You heard it. You know, just if you want to. Okay, this has been Love About Town. Thank you so much for listening.
Much fun.
Bye, everyone. See you next week.
Welcome to BrainMachineNetwork.com.